We live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the word of God, we are productive. The word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Second Corinthians, amen. The rain was superior to some people's passion for God's word, amen. I speak in parables. Hallelujah. Did you understand what I just said? I say it seems the rain was more powerful than some people's hunger to hear God's word tonight. Hallelujah. So I'll say congratulations that you made it. Okay, we'll just read from the screen. What to do when there is no change as yet? Amen. The teaching has been a blessing, isn't it? Have you been blessed by it? All right. Let's start from verse 17. Can we read it together? One, two, go. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Okay, next verse, verse 18. While we look not at the things, Hold on. Amen. We don't need this vibe tonight. Amen. So can we all read out loud and very passionately? Okay, and it's not Hamatan, it's not winter. Amen. Hallelujah. So your mouth is not feeling cold. Glory to God. Can we start again and everybody reading together in concert? One, two, go. Four. Hallelujah. That's a good place to shout the amen. Glory to God forevermore. What to do when there is no change as yet? We have taught and journeyed really far. Last week, we got into talking about paying attention to your focus and paying attention to your faith. Amen. No, that's 2 weeks ago, not last week. Praise God. All right, so that's part of our anchor scriptures. You know, one of the thoughts that came out for me from those two verses is this, and you can write it down. He's saying that things turn around when your focus is right. You can write it down. Things turn around when your focus is right. Okay? Things turn around when your focus is right. Life is a battle of focus. And if you really think very critically and examine the scripture strategically, you will notice that one of the things, a major admonition of scriptures concerning seasons of difficulty, concerning seasons when you are waiting for the manifestations or the things you've prayed about, you've believed about, you've sown seed towards, a major admonition is to guard your focus. Are we together? Is to guard your focus. That means that is where the fight is. Praise God. That is where the fight is. Don't forget that. You have something before you. You have prayed, you've fasted, you've given, you have cried. God has even given you a word. So what do you do? And it's as though the outward experience is contradictory. What do you do? Your focus. Your focus. Your focus. If your focus is right, things will turn around. In fact, the opposite is the same. Amen. If a person's focus is wrong, things will also turn around. Amen. You know, that kind of turnaround. Praise God. May it never happen to you. Amen. Are you here tonight? So when your focus is right, we are sure that things are going to turn around. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. While we look not at the things which are seen. So he shows you your responsibility. And that responsibility is to maintain the right focus. While we look not at the things which are seen. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That means afflictions can turn to glory. Hiya. Are you here tonight? That means ugly caterpillars do become beautiful butterflies. You've heard me say that again and again and again. You know, I like to encourage people. And one of the things I love to tell people is this. You will not always be like this. You will not always be like this. It's a reality physically and is a truism spiritually. You will not always be like this. As a matter of fact, you are not born this big. Amen. Nobody in this hall came out of his mother's womb this big. Not even little Jason. Amen. Hallelujah. You were born little. In fact, your existence or the existence of your body and soul didn't start the day you came out of your mother's womb. That means that's already big. It started with two cells that will need a microscope to see. It's so small that women don't know they are pregnant until they miss their period. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means when they miss their period, science tells us that that pregnancy is already 4 weeks at least. Glory to God. But you see, the process of growth, once the environment was right, you began to grow. Growing in the womb until it was time to come out. That means that baby in the womb was not always going to be in the womb. Glory to God. A time comes, this guy that's been there just feels very uncomfortable. I want to come out. That's what we call labor, right? And in case you don't know, you know, it doesn't just happen when it's time. There are substances that are released from the child, actually, that begins to trigger certain things that begin to trigger what you call the contractions of the womb to push. That means suddenly this guy is uncomfortable with that place. You will not always be like this. Hallelujah. You will not always be like this. You will not always be living in a two-bedroom apartment. Amen. You will not always have a salary of 100,000. Amen. Or of 200,000. Your business will not always be worth 5 million, 10 million. There's some place that is called more. Glory to God. God has a bigger plan and you can become that plan. Glory to God. You can walk in the fullness of that plan. And maybe you are going through a difficult season. You will not always be there. The Bible says in every tribulation, in every trial, God has made a way of escape. That means there's a path out. Glory to God forevermore. Maybe you think there's nothing pleasant about your life currently. Well, ugly caterpillars do become beautiful butterflies. Ugly caterpillars do become beautiful butterflies. I'm sure a lot of you have forgotten this reality, that the beautiful butterflies that we see, you know, when they fly by, they are so beautiful, they are so colorful. You'll be like, oh, this is so nice, have you seen this? But sometimes we forget the lessons from the life cycle. We forget that, look, that very beautiful stuff was once a very, oh, have you ever seen a caterpillar? That thing that eats up leaves like hunger is their second name, amen. They feed so voraciously. They look so ugly. Very ugly. Maybe you can Google it after the service. When you look at, there's nothing to desire about it. Can you play with the caterpillar? Just or you give it to your child to play with. But they can play with butterfly. Praise God. But newsflash, that beautiful stuff came out of that ugly stuff. And that's a lesson in life. The process is called metamorphosis. And in fact, it is said that that caterpillar stage of the life cycle of the butterfly is the most focused, especially in feeding. It's the most focused. The caterpillar eats 2/3 of the entire food in the life cycle. Did you get that? That means 2/3 of what the organism will consume in the entire life cycle is consumed at the caterpillar phase. What does that tell you? Focus. feeding. I'm going to get into that. So the problem is not how the caterpillar felt. Second thing about the about it is this: the caterpillar cannot fly. Not just ugly, cannot fly. It's just on the ground with other creeping things. You know them creeps? Other creeping things. I'm sure when the, what was on the ground again? Maybe the ant or the cockroach passed. I think cockroaches can fly a little. Amen. When them creeping things passed and they saw the caterpillar, they felt they were at the same level. They felt they were all the same. Guy, what's happening now? You are still here. What's happening? Nigeria, look at what's happening. You know, this country, we don't understand. Don't join them. Yes, don't join them. Your destiny is butterfly. Yes, so they may be creeping on the ground. It may look as though you are eating the same restaurant, working in the same job, having similar income, having similar challenges. You are not the same. You are not the same. And this is why you can't form pity party WhatsApp groups. Amen. All the people who have been heartbroken by men, can you just share your story on this platform? You know, this 21st century, men are wicked, men are dogs, men are insensitive. I've told you before, never join such things. It's on scripture. He says, any afflicted, Makaya, let him pray. Don't let him join WhatsApp group. Sakabala kepa. Either financial affliction, relationship affliction. Do you understand? Marriage, it doesn't matter what the issue is. It's not important. Let him pray. Let him pray. He now says, the earnest heartfelt continued prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available dynamically in its working. You see, that prayer is the expression of that focus I'm talking about. It's not about being on the ground with the other creeping things. The wings are inside. The wings are inside. As the caterpillar focuses on feet, one day suddenly the wings come out. And then from the ground it takes off. Aya. It takes off. And the other guys are wondering, we thought we were all meant to be crawling on the ground. Sir, bro, sorry. I was working on something while we're all on the ground. While we looked not at the things which are seen. You have a choice concerning that vision, concerning the future that God has shown you, concerning that next level, next dimension, concerning your heart cry, your heart desires, the things you have prayed. You have a choice. Are you going to focus on the things that are, or shift your focus to the things that are not? By that I mean the invisible things. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. He said, for the things which are seen are temporal. They are subject to change. They are manipulatable. Glory to God. We can manipulate them. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Are eternal. Yes, that $1 million. Even if you can't, even though you can't see it now, in the physical realm, you have the materials. You have the eternal materials to bring it to come to pass. That business that will serve nationwide and nations that you have seen in your spirit, even though physical eyes cannot see it yet, because your eyes can see it by the word of promise that the Lord has given to you, it is eternal. It will always dominate the temporal. Are we together? That family that you have seen in your heart, according to God's word, you, your wife, you, your husband, and your children, is a reality in the spirit realm. It is superior to what the physical eyes can see. Don't lose the pictures. Focus. I say it again, once the focus is right, things will turn around. So it's really about the battle of focus. Where are your eyes? Why we look not at the things which are seen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so the first thing we say, pay attention to your focus, right? We say focus on the invisible force of God's word. How many of you remember that? Focusing on the invisible force of God's word. Hallelujah. Let us read a scripture, then we'll continue. Second Peter 1:19, right? Message translation. Focusing on the invisible force of God's word. I'll just read that, then we'll go to the second thing. Under your focus. Hi. Okay, again, I really love us to read this. Kai, hear me when I say this. It's a battle of focus. If you can keep your eyes on the right things, things will turn around. I don't care what. Am I in the right church?
Yes, sir.
Am I talking to the right people?
Yes, sir.
Do you have big things before you?
Yes, sir.
Or you are looking for Gary and Granite, amen? How many of you have big things before you that you are pressing for? In ministry, business, career, amen? Family life, are they before you? Are they really big? Are there things that require supernatural assistance? Because if there are things you can do by yourself, please, you don't need this message. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. All right, so can we read in concert? One more time. One, two, go. God's voice. God's voice. Hold on. God's voice. Continue now. Hold on. You would do well to keep focusing on what? The prophetic word. You would do well to keep focusing on what? The prophetic word. Oh, are you with me? You would do well to keep focusing on what? The prophetic word. His IA of truth, triumphs, and takeovers. We have Acts 19:20, I believe, as part of the scriptures. It says, so mightily grieved the word of God and prevailed. Have you done well in focusing on that prophetic word? I mean, the Lord has spoken to us from Amos this year, Amos 9:13, from Message Translation. Have you done well to focus? Have you done well to focus? Look at it there. Go back to where we're reading. The point is, you would do well to focus on it. To focus on it. I told you, life is a battle of focus. And when there's no change as yet, your primary job is to maintain your focus. To pay attention to your focus. To ensure you are focusing, one, on the invisible word of God, which is the prophetic word. He said, keep focusing on it. Continue. Now, hold on. Now, we had an agreement that everybody should read. One to go. How many lights do you have in a dark place?
One.
That means there is no other option. I was talking to someone recently, and I was telling her, I said, look, come to a point where you know that there is no other way around this. The government doesn't have plans for you. Amen. Even those who promised you, they don't have plans for you. Just zero in on these primitive apostolic practices and break forth. All the going, you know, there's a way you can subconsciously think that you have things planned out outside the provisions of scriptures. It will not work. There's no other word. He said you just have one light in the dark times. One light. That means the only help you have is the word of the Lord. That prophetic word. He said you would do well to keep focusing on it. The one light you have in the dark time. As you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your heart. That's the full manifestation now. The full breakout of the things you desire. There are no two things. I've sat down and thought about these things. Guys, think about it. Listen, eh? Forget changing location. Forget maybe going to America and Europe. If you hear some of the stories of the people that have gone there, you will cry. No, I'm serious. You are free. You're a free man. Nigeria is the real home of the free and home of the brave, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't believe that? This is the home of the brave. The kind of things that are happening in this country, and we are still walking around outside and buying suya. Are you kidding me? This is the home of the brave. Amen. No, we are brave. You don't know. Go to some there are countries that can't survive half of what we are going through. Yes, sir. So, they will lock themselves inside. They are kidnappings. They are they'll just lock up inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I've been in jail for decades. Amen. I'm for almost 2 decades now. And you notice, you know, the days of crisis. After they fight and they burn things, you are out. By the next day, you go to the market. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll never forget back in school many, many years ago, you know, that came. Then the hostel we were was not fenced. So some funny boys, some Malo boys, we call them Malo boys, outside Muslim boys, came to attack us in the hostel. Amen. We two came out. We stood. Your dear pastor had a stick. Amen. We came to defend attack. I say, Uwanko, come. Just come here. Come here. If you have to, come here. Come here. There's no run home. We're there. They were looking at us or looking at them. Say, cross and come here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember one guy ran. One of them had a gun. One guy from where we were standing ran towards them and collected the gun. How he did it now is a mystery. That guy is a suspect. He ran from where we was, went to their midst, collected the gun from a guy. Amen. Praise God. I'm wondering some of you how you feel when you see people with guns and cutlass coming close to where you were. Hallelujah. Makavaya Kasaya. Some just is shaking uncontrollably. Hallelujah. Honestly, I almost collected a gun from one guy one day. He came to rob me. Amen. He put a gun on me. I was just standing and looking at him. I'm sure it's the Holy Spirit that held my hands. You know, I was angry. He was shouting, I should kneel. I did what I might stood there. I was so angry. Praise God. This guy is hungry. What was I even saying? I said, Nigeria is a real home of the brave, right? And home of the free. Amen. Land of the free. So before then, I was talking about maintaining your focus. That things don't change because you change physical location. Yes, I think that's what I was talking about. Okay, yeah, I remember now. Come to terms with this. Look, listen. As a believer, your surest hope is the word of the Lord. Is the word of promise. Did you get me? That's your surest hope. Don't try to look for another way. Okay. Don't tell your mind that there is an don't lie to your mind in thinking that there is another way to get things done or to break forth in your destiny on the earth. There is no other way. No government on earth has plans for you. Are we together? And when you truly know that, look, there's no other way, I will stay with this thing. You will zero in on it and produce results. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Was a focus on the invisible force of God's world. Number two, focus on the invisible force of God's love. Oh, glory to God. Focus on the invisible force of God's love. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Look up at me before we read the scripture. You see, Satan always comes at your persuasion about the Father's love. Never forget this as long as you live. Every time Satan comes at you, the major thing on his mind is to separate you from the Father's love in consciousness. If God loves me, why? Does God really love me? If truly, truly he cares about me, why? He wants you to think that your heavenly Father is irresponsible. That's what's on his mind. But don't let him have his way. Your Father is responsible. Glory to God. He is very responsible. Don't give it to Satan's lies. And you see, the strength of your faith is the revelation of God's love. It's the strength of faith. Your faith will be punctured. Your faith will be sabotaged when your heart is not firmly rooted or convinced that, look, this is not about God loving me or not. An enemy has done this. And so when we face things in our lives, it's very important you understand who is behind it. Who is behind the mask? An enemy has done this. You remember the story that Jesus gave? He says, when the owner of the farm came, he didn't say, how did these tears appear? Maybe it was my neighbor that did this. No, an enemy has done this. The diagnosis is clear. Satan is behind this. Are we together? Satan is behind this. So never allow your heart to be separated from the Father's love in consciousness. Praise God. Once, you see, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, right? And when there's fear, there's no faith. That means once your heart is not assured of God's love, fear is going to come in. What else do you have as an anchor for your soul? If you are not sure God loves you with an everlasting love, if you are not sure your sins are forgiven, if you are not sure God is passionately in love with you, your soul really doesn't have a serious anchor. Glory to God. Your faith is punctured and sabotaged. He said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. You rather that is risen again. He is even at the right hand of God, who makes what? Intercession for us. Oh, glory to God. That means you have a high priest making intercession for you. Next verse, 35. Whew. Verse 35. Can we have speed? 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, and all sort. You can see the things that were listed. Persecutions, tribulations, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, all the sort. He said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Glory to God. Next says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Why? To him that loved us. Hallelujah. Next verse. For I am persuaded. This is where I'm going. You, are you persuaded? You pay attention until you are persuaded. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So nothing can separate you. Like I said, it's consciousness. It's not because God has stopped loving you. But you see, God's love demands a response. Amen. So you focus on his love. You go to the scriptures again. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, John really said, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Known and believed the love that God has for us. Number three, on that focus, focus on your soul. Focus on your soul. I say, pay attention to your focus. When there's no change as yet, focus on your soul. Focus on your soul. In what way? The first place is in soul development. That's the first way to focus on your soul. You see, people go around making excuses and leaving out the one excuse that is causing the delay, the leanness of their soul. That means you can go around just making all kinds of excuses. It's because people don't like me. It's because blah, blah, blah. I didn't go to a nice school. I'm living in Jaws. Blah, blah. Making all kinds of excuses. You see, don't be caught there. And that's what a lot of people do. They make all kinds of excuses and neglect a major reason why there is delay, why there is no change as yet, and that's the leanness of their soul. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Don't blame anybody. Your strength is small. Okay? And it tells us what kind of strength he's talking about. We'll read it shortly. Strength of heart, strength of the soul. He says, a man of understanding increases in strength. So he's talking about the strength of the soul and the content of your soul. That means you must focus on the development of your soul when there is no change as yet. Remember the seven reasons we gave for life. slightly the seven reasons we gave for delays in manifestations. One of them is lack of capacity for the things you are believing God for the things you are dreaming about. That means as you are waiting, you have to pay attention to your soul in soul development. Are you blessed? So there's really no reason to wait. Become the version of you that can attract what you are looking for. Did you get that? So instead of waiting, like we say, relationships, if you are waiting to get married, become the spouse that someone will be attracted to. Amen. Or become the lady or the young man that the kind of person you will love will be attracted to. That takes work. And it's not just body work. Mental work. Listen, physical attraction, physical chemistry. It's just one out of five reasons why someone can be attracted to you. Amen. I think I did that teaching years ago. I talked about status, chemistry, physical appearance is just one out of five. Praise God. I'll go through that again. Praise God. If you can get the message, you should be out there. So it's not just about the work. It's just not looking all and taking selfies all the time to put out there. It's nice, amen. But it's beyond that. Life operates by the principle of resonance. That means if you sustain the mental posture that can pull what you desire, it will come to you. There's a way of thinking. There's an adequate self-esteem you need as a lady, as a young man that can pull the right person to you. And that is work. That is work on your soul. Have it together. That's work on your soul. Aside that, you'll be attracting funny things. Amen. Glory to God. I didn't say that. Yes. Hallelujah. Some of you are attracting frogs. Amen. You know, frogs, they're hot frogs. They jump from place to place. Now, for those of you who are single in the house, can I tell you this? Eventually, you cannot attract something that is so far from the range of the capacity of your soul. As far as marriage and relationship is concerned, you will attract your kind all around. In thinking, in emotional maturity, it won't be too far. Even when you feel you're a little better, it's not far. It's not far, I'm telling you. It's not far. That means if you are excellent, oh, glory to God, you attract something like that. Have it together. Very important. For those of you that are married, you just attracted what you look like. Don't blame your spouse and don't fight. Just make use of what you have and move to the next level. Amen. You are a reflection of your mental capacity at that stage, of your maturity at that stage. It's a hard truth, but that's the truth. Haven't you noticed that as you grew, there were people you liked before and you wondered what attracted you to them? You are wondering, oh God of heaven and earth, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? Oh, there's a young man, he's not here. Let me not blow his cover. I almost said something, I'll make you suspective. When I heard that he dated a lady that I knew, I couldn't believe it. He said, Pastor, it's before he came to church. And coincidentally, that lady had been in church at the point. No, but she was so unstable and left. But I knew her beyond church. I said, you are this person dated. He's one of our leaders. Amen. I said, you DVD dated. He said, how did he happen? Praise God. And we laugh. Say, Pastor, I've grown way past that. I mean, it's irreconcilable. I'm saying, you don't want to imagine what I'm talking about. Praise God. So as you grieve, and this is why when children try to do relationship and we guide them, listen, you are still growing. You are 18. You are 19. You're laughing. You will change. You are growing. Okay. Amen. And by the way, relationship should be towards marriage, right? And you don't marry for now, you marry for the future. You marry for the future. Because you are in one room. You don't marry for that one room. lives. You marry for the future. Can this person stand with you to take the world? You marry for the future. Of course, it doesn't mean you find someone who has everything for that future. No. But there are things you look at. There are traits. There are character traits. There are potentials you look at. I know, look. This person can be developed. This person can go with me to the nations. Are you here? So that one day you'll not be walking fast more than your husband. He's behind. You don't want, in public, you don't want to be associated with. Or you see, or just walking at the beginning, you know, you're walking like St. Peter and St. Paul and working together. But as things start manifesting, I know, Kai, this is not what I was looking for. And then you're running past her, she's behind, just in front. I said, where's your wife? I said, she's there. Where's your husband? I said, a guy's behind. And you know, it's even more troublesome for ladies. You see, for a lady, if you marry someone that is not at your level mentally, okay, in emotional and social intelligence, you have more trouble. Because naturally, in God's order, the man is to lead the woman. So if the woman is behind, he can do something. For a lady, I mean, God help you, if the man has low self-esteem, that's where you see abuse. You will see abuse. They will pull you down. They will pull you down. They'll pull you down. Amen. So, very important. How did we get here? You are following me. Praise God. Eh? Becoming the version, thank you, that will attract what you're looking for. We're talking about paying attention to your soul. Lord, why has this not happened? I've been praying. I've been sowing my seed. Pay attention to your soul. Listen, if you outgrow where you are, life will change your class. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I said? If you outgrow your current level, life will change your class. Just outgrow it. That's the easiest thing in the world. Just outgrow it. You see that life will change your class for you. Instead of just waiting, I remember that's what I was saying. Say, don't wait. Don't wait. There's no need to wait. No need to wait. Just develop. Just develop. Don't wait. Has it become the version of you that will attract what you're looking for? And this is how God has designed life to be. You attract what your soul is becoming. You can write that down. You attract what your soul is becoming. Matthew 13:15. In Matthew 13:15, very powerful scripture. It shows us how result is produced. The conversion of the soul. Put it up. The conversion of the soul is there. He said, for these people's heart is waxed gross. Now you have to look at the principle he's showing here. He's showing us the principle for transformation, right? He says, their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes, they have closed. So these are channels of transformation. Watch this now. He said, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Did you hear what he's saying? Let me see if you can see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart, you'll be converted. Where does the conversion happen? In the heart. In the soul. That soul conversion. Suddenly, 10 million that looked like a mountain before now looks like a molehill. Your soul has been converted. You know, there are people when you mention, in fact, there are people when you mention 1 million, they can pass out. 1 million, amen. Amen. Why? The capacity of their soul. How many say, this is your business? Have you thought of having a monthly turnover of 1 million? One more? It can cause them headache for 3 days, amen. But see, let me teach you wisdom. It's better to have that headache and break through. Yes, sir. Think it, hear it again. Speak it until it becomes your new comfort zone. Yeah. Yes, when you think about a monthly turnover of 1 million, you are not shaking anymore. Even though it was 50,000 before. In fact, even though it's currently 50,000, you're not shaking. It's called soul conversion. But it says you have to see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart, and be converted. And once that conversion happens, it says, I should heal them. That means that should heal them is God's part, the manifestation. So pay attention to your soul. Pay attention to your soul. You know, it was Reverend Samadi, yes, it was Reverend Samadi Emi. Remarkable lesson for every pastor. You know, I used to be amazed at pastors who, there's a place for inviting people to bless the congregation. But as a pastor, the church will grow primarily on the food coming out of your mouth. So when you see somebody starts church and it's invitations every month, this person come and preach, but you confuse the people. Is your mouth beneath you? Feed the flock. Amen. Notice in this place, it will host people maybe 2 or 3 times a year. Amen. And they release impartations. Why? If God sent you to pastor the people, he has put the food in your mouth. It's like a woman giving birth to a child. Naturally, there's breast milk that will come from you to feed that child. The child doesn't need to go to another mother. If you give birth to that child, there'll be breast milk. Are you here tonight? Yes, I remember what I wanted to say now. You know, Reverend Sam went to meet Bishop Oyedepo and said, we just say, how is ministry? Yeah, we just had this powerful program. This person came. Hallelujah. All right, so he said he thought that Bishop would be impressed by the quality of the guest ministers who came to his meeting. And as he said, Sam, just so that you know this, that church cannot grow beyond you as a pastor. And so if you want the church to grow, grow so that the church can grow. We'll call it the law of the prime factor in church growth. No church grows beyond the capacity of the pastor. So he told him, say, guest ministers attract guest members. When they have gone, the members will go. So sit down and become a person that people can come and listen to like a guest minister. That is instructive. That changed my life. That means you keep improving. You keep paying attention to the quality of your soul. And that's all this argument. Listen here. The day you start looking outward as the reason for where you are, as the reason why you've not broken forth financially, in ministry, relationally, is the day you prolong your manifestation. When you turn the light inwards, you will sit down and do the necessary thing to move on. It's a law. It's a law. You know, it was Pastor Sarah in Makurai, Family Worship Center. She was talking about the story, you know, when Pastor Ina passed and the church was shaking. She took over the church and church. Of course, things happened. People were leaving and all that. Some people were staying, were like, she cannot handle it and all that and all that. You know, she said something that touched me. In recent times, she said she had 2 options. Either to just be complaining and say, these people don't like me, this happened, blah, blah, blah. Or to face God and turn the light inwards. And so she told herself that, look, you have issues. That's the beginning. You have issues. And so she turned the light of God on her character, on her personality, went into retreats to hear from God and for her to be transformed. Instead of all this looking, and that's how Satan deceives us. You just be looking out, this person doesn't like me, blah, blah, blah. That's a waste of time. When she was done and came to man that walk, he went to another level. He went to another level. But if she has stayed in that level of complaining, all these people, their heart was not even with me, you know, you are talking stories. So Life, there's no time. Listen, people gravitate towards value.
Yes, sir.
And so forget the stories you have in your mind. They like you, they don't like you. It's not important. Increase the level of your value. Do you know that value is attractive? That means you don't look for who is going to follow me, who likes me. When you have something to offer, everybody will like you. Everybody that is supposed to like you will like you. So don't let Satan play that trick on you. Okay, well, they don't like me. No, forget those things. Forget those things. Turn the light inwards. Turn the light inwards. How can you become the person that people like? Amen. How can you become the person that people like? Pastor Peter is happy. It's like, yeah, I've been preaching this to you, Abby. This is life, oh. This is life. Turn the light inwards, always. Don't look outwards. When you want to start talking, I will keep quiet and say, it's me. It is me. Turn the light inwards. I don't complain about church members. When I meet with pastors, meet with friends, you cannot catch me. I speak very highly of you. No matter how much you disappoint, no matter your level, no matter what you do, I speak very highly of you. Very highly. Because as a pastor, I know the problem is not church members. It's hard, but some people have not agreed yet. These people, they don't, they are not effective, they don't learn, they don't do what they're supposed to do. You know, you can go on and go on and go. You are prolonging your manifestation. So, but turn the light inwards. And tell yourself, I'll become this kind of person. That will transform these people into this kind of people. That will attract this kind of people. And the moment you do that, you start producing results. Are you blessed tonight? Focus on your soul for development. We'll continue next week. Focus on your soul for development. Focus on your soul for development. Listen, when you feed and feed and feed and get to a point, the wings start coming out. That's what happens to the caterpillar. The wings start coming out. The caterpillar doesn't go around saying, I don't have wings to fly. I'm just crawling. No, he knows what to do. Keep feeding. Keep feeding. Keep feeding. Pam! The wings will start coming out. And before long, you start flying. You start soaring. It's not about the things happening on the outside. It's not about the people who are not helping you in that business. I spoke to him. My uncle has that money. He will not just give me the money. You are not ready. You are not ready. You are looking to uncle promised you and you are complaining. The faster, the earlier you forget about him, the earlier you can focus. You can focus. Nobody owes you anything. Not even your parents. Bury entitlement mentality and start producing results. Nobody owes you anything. I served her for this many years. I served him for this many years. Look at what, he cannot even help me. There's still entitlement mentality. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody. The things you gain in life are the things you gain by the value you add and the favor of God on your life. Simple. The value you add and the favor of God on your life. That is what you're entitled to in life. The things that is given to you in exchange for the value that you add and the favor of God upon your life. Nobody owes you anything. And you see, this thing is more than saying it with your mouth. So you will settle it in your heart until it becomes your consciousness that nobody owes you anything. You know, when we started ministry, my dad used to send me money here and there. The first money we used to pay for church rent, just my dad has sent it. Amen. So you're starting church. So you sent money. We used to do stuff. From time to time, you call. Okay, I just got this for you. Send it for you. Do you need this? One day, I just said, "What's going on?" I said, "Sir, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I'm always fast. I'm always fine." Amen. You know I had to do that. You may be surprised one day. Just carry your phone and say, "Sir, can I get 100,000 there? There's this house, there's this rent to want to pay for church." That's nonsense. You have lost your ministry. That's trouble. Amen. So I didn't let it get there. before you come, they can come, just get 300,000. And you explain it in your mind. I mean, you understand that, you know, ministry is difficult. And, you know, I'm a young man who's just trying. Nobody grows like that. Nobody grows like that. When your eyes is one,
yes, sir.
Your body will be full of light. Your body will be full of light. Oh, Father, we thank you. Rise to your feet. Have you been blessed? Woo, 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 woo. Glory to God. This is the anointing of God's Spirit. Focus on your soul. In soul development, next week I'll step into talking about focusing your soul in dealing with offenses. Very important. When there's no change as yet, you focus in dealing with offenses. Another man's progress is not the reason for where you are now. Amen. Amen. That your roommate got married is not the reason why you are not married. So I'll teach you how to deal with those poisons of the soul. Offense, jealousy is a poison. Amen. And when you deal with them, you create room for the Lord to move. Oh, lift your hands toward heaven and bless the name of the Lord. Honor him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pala kepo soshoto. I know you've been blessed tonight. Just pray the words you have heard. Lord, I focus on your love. I focus on your word. I receive grace to focus on my soul development. In the name of Jesus. On my soul development. In the name of Jesus. On my soul development. Can you be serious about the prayer? Can you be passionate about the prayer? Ooh, thank you, Lord. Om Shepredi Gebo Sabaya. Em Sheprepeko Sushteporadila. Em Zelianda Sepradila. Em Zobrepekotosishta. Em Zobrepekaposa. Jelika Brunda Sushtepora. Indalaboso da Banani. Ayikopa, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Very quickly, Amos chapter 9, verse 13, message translation. We'll read it again. Hope you are meditating on this scripture outside of church. If you are not, you're your own. Amen. Hallelujah. Or simply put, start doing that. Amen. All right, Amos chapter 9, verse 13. He said, yes, indeed. It won't be long. As we take this communion, let this be our focus, okay? It won't be long, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Yes, blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Lift your hands toward heaven and say, Lord, this is my experience, grace and ease. Everywhere I turn, blessings. Yes, blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Go ahead and pray that scripture.
See the Lamb slain.
Father, we thank you. Precious Jesus, we receive your body and your blood. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we put this before our face and we make progress. We move forward. We are victorious. We have prevailed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just keep speaking in tongues as the worship team sings.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.